This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Rush Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
It is the Rob Carson Show. I am back. And I just want to say at the very beginning of the show, in a day where so many are proclaiming their own pronouns, and if you don't use the right pronouns, and they can change on a daily basis, that you can be sued for not using the proper pronouns. You could lose your livelihood. So here's what I'm going to do. Not only am I going to announce my pronouns, but I'm going to claim my own adjectives and my own interjections. Since people are claiming their own parts of speech. So for instance, whereas if you were born with a vagina and you most commonly referred to as a she or a her, now that is different. So somebody can say, I'm a they. All right, so there you go. So that's fine. If you want to play by those rules, then my adjectives are awesome and excellent. All right, and then my interjections are hell and yeah. All right, so let's just start this over again. If I walked into a room like I was Kamala Harris, God forbid, I would say, hello, my name's Rob. My pronouns are he and man. My adjectives are awesome and excellent, and my interjections are hell and yeah. And if you say anything other than that, if you call me anything but awesome and excellent, I will sue you to the ends of the earth for not using my proper adjectives. And then if you don't see me and say hell yeah, then you are not using my proper interjections, and I can sue you and end your career. Is that okay? I think let's do that. While we're just focusing on the absurdity of everything out there, let's just give them a little bit of what they're asking for. If you think you can name your own pronouns and have professors fired because they didn't call you a them. There you go. Right? Am I right? This is the absurdity of living in 2022. So I'm glad to be back. I want to thank Mary Walter for filling in for me on Friday. I have had, and I didn't know what the hell it was, a lot of sneezing. I've had a very rough spring and summer with regard to what I can only assume is ragweed pollen. That's what I've heard. And it has been really brutal this season. And it started, normally I'm just allergic to cats. But now all of a sudden, I'm allergic to ragweed, or maybe it's global warming. It could be climate change that I am experiencing. Regardless, I seriously need to probably consider a gender change. But no, I had allergies. I was sneezing and wheezing on Thursday. On Friday, I probably could have worked, but there's nothing worse, really, on the radio. I mean, other than, you know, Air America, but they're out of business. But hearing somebody who's congested, coughing, sneezing, and sniffling. So that's why I took off the day on Friday and let Mary take over. Did go to lovely Neola, Iowa, my hometown, for my family reunion, and had a wonderful time there, seeing a lot of folks. First family reunion since my mother passed away about a year and 4 months ago. So it was good to see everybody. A lot of stuff, a lot of talk about, my family's fairly, they're very blue collar. They are very middle class to lower middle class, farmers, people who work hard, people who my cousin Mike's a military recruiter, and all of them are talking about the country and where the country is going and how bad things are and how bad the economy is. And even though the Biden administration is saying there's no recession, what is this recession thing? I mean, a recession. I know that for the last 50 years that we've been using this term for recession, which is two quarters of negative growth, and realizing, of course, when Joe Biden took office that the GDP was 6%, and now it's negative 1.9%, and we haven't recovered all of the jobs that were lost during COVID, which were caused by government shutdowns and all of that. But, you know, now we've got this thing that some people are saying is recession, but honestly, right now, we just decided to change the word. So you're really not experiencing anything at all. You're just imagining all of the things that you are going through right now, including the enormous pain of going to fill your car with gas or going to the grocery store, which costs a whole hell of a lot more. And I'm going to get into all of these things. Also, I came up with a new expression this weekend. It's called psychosexual assault. And that's what women in the United States are going through right now by the Democrat Party, the party that says it's for women. And the only reason they say they're for women is because they are down with abortion until the baby is born. And that's what apparently is being for women is all about, and it ends right there. Everything else, forget about it. If your daughter has been competing her entire life in track and field, and she is one of the best in her field in track and field, and some kid is a junior who was a boy who has failed, decides to become a girl, and beat your daughter in the latest meet and keep her from getting a scholarship and ruin her chances of a state title or a college championship or an All-American status, all of that pales by comparison to the boy who couldn't compete with boys who became a girl, and the Democrat Party is down with that. They are completely cool with that. And I call it psychosexual assault because it has all of the hallmarks of sexual assault, kind of like two quarters of negative GDP equals recession, all of the hallmarks of sexual assault without the physicality of it. And I know that sounds, what? Well, that's why I put psychosexual in front of it, because it's psychological. The psychological assault of women by men, and Democrats and leftists saying, that's cool. We're perfectly fine with it. I mean, it's abusive. It is abusive. I talked about Leah Thomas. Leah Thomas did not just become a woman, and he's never been a woman, will never be a woman, by the way. I hate to tell you this. Six trillion chromosomes in his body say, Dude, not a woman, okay? Dude. But the teammates for Leah Thomas's team said, hey, we're not comfortable with this guy in the locker room. We certainly aren't comfortable with this guy beating the snot out of all of us who work so hard. But the left-wing media and the Democrat Party said, you are transphobic. So you had these women who are fearful, assaulted mentally in the locker room, assaulted in the swimming pool by a man who claimed victory, to the point that even the person who tied Leah Thomas, who we'll hear from later in the show, who had swam as a woman her entire life, tied Leah Thomas, and Leah Thomas got the trophy that they had on hand, and the one for the same place that was a duplicate. Well, the female swimmer had to wait for it in the mail. Said, you know what? We need Leah to have this for the photo op, and we'll send you yours. So we got that going on. We got the president of the United States. He has COVID again. President of the United States, last week, he went after Donald Trump for COVID. He did. He went after Donald Trump last week. He was doing a victory dance and saying that Donald Trump is so weak, even though this guy can barely put together a sentence. But here's Joe Biden last week on COVID.
Here's the bottom line. When my predecessor got COVID, he had to get helicoptered to Walter Reed Medical Center. He was severely ill. Thankfully, he recovered. When I got COVID, I worked from upstairs of the White House, and the office is upstairs. And
I would exactly call it working.
That 5-day period. The difference is vaccinations, of course.
Yeah. Well, Joe Biden got two vaccines and two boosters, and guess what? He tested positive for COVID again. This despite the fact that he took this Pfizer-BioNTech, the vaccine, a couple of times, took the boosters a couple of times, and took FDA-approved medication that has got, it's made a hell of a lot of money for the for Big Pharma. Yeah, this wonderful stuff, this Paxlovid, which my biological sister is on right now because she has COVID. Paxlovid, it turns out, brings down the immune system and makes you more susceptible to things like COVID. So we've got all of this on the plate. Plus, we'll get to China. Nancy Pelosi, of course, in Singapore, I guess, this morning. The possibility that she might go to Taiwan. And this, of course, has China saber rattling. And this is serious crap, man. I'll just be honest. This is really, really, really serious stuff. China's Red Army releasing a video of missile strikes and ground invasions in another thinly veiled threat to Pelosi after it was revealed that she would definitely be flying to Beijing. See, this is what happens when you broadcast weakness around the world. I was thinking about this weekend. What would Trump do? What would Trump do? What would Trump do? WWTD. And it would have been, this would have never happened. We'd never be in this situation. It would have never happened. We would still be energy independent. We would still be we would not be in a war with, or Russia would not be in a war with Ukraine. And China would not be saber rattling and doing this sort of nonsense. But you know what? We've got a guy in the White House who doesn't have a brain. He is a puppet who is being controlled by a previous president and a lot of people from his previous regime. And we're putting ourselves into a great deal of danger worldwide. And honestly, the last thing you want from this administration, you remember when, Barack Obama said that, you know, if they decide to put chemical weapons in Syria, that's a red line. We're drawing a line in the sand. Well, now, lines in the sand from the Biden administration are meant to be stepped over by our enemies. China has drawn the line in the sand this time, and they're saying that if you allow Nancy Pelosi and her plane to come into Taiwan tomorrow, escorted by U.S. fighters, that is an act of war, and we will shoot it down. And we will shoot it down. Now, I've got some thoughts on this. We've got Gordon Chang. He's going to be joining us later in the show. He's making a special appearance on the radio program, and he is an expert on China-U.S. policy, for as academic as that sounds. He just has the answers. He has the answers that you're looking at. So we've got a lot of stuff on the show today. An update on the Arizona primaries. Carrie Lake is now like 20 points ahead of the non-Trump endorsed candidate for governor there. You've got this the gigantic scandal in the UK where they're shutting down a giant clinic that has done gender transition for young children, and they're seeing the folly of this, and it's coming to America hopefully very soon. So that, and then your phone calls, guys, at 800-922-6680, 800-922-6680. On the way, all of the argument about the recession we're having and all of the Democrats saying that what you're seeing is not real despite all your suffering, that and much more on this Monday edition of the Rob Carson Show, back in a few.
To a record-setting president. Joe Biden setting record low approval ratings.
What the Democrats have put our nation through. It is a sad day.
It's the Rob Carson Show.
All signs are that this is a strong economy, and the probability of a recession within the next year is not particularly elevated.
It's a strong economy, and nothing about it suggests that it's close to or vulnerable to a recession.
I don't expect a recession.
Yeah. No one is predicting a recession now.
We are not expecting that we are already in the recession. In fact, the guts...
That's okay, because during the last administration, at this point in the administration, men were still people who were had penises and testicles.
And the bones of this economy remain strong.
These are not the marks of an economy in recession.
Right. They're changing everything.
Now, we don't see a recession right now. That is not...
Women used to be ovaries, fallopian tubes, uterus.
We're not in a recession right now.
This is not an economy that's in recession.
Not only is a recession not inevitable, but I think that a lot of people are underestimating those strengths and the resilience of the American economy.
We have a strong labor market, which you don't normally see in a recession.
Yeah, in a recession, except for the only problem, the labor market is very strong because people are coming out of retirement to work because they're starving, and people are getting third and then second and third jobs, by the way. If you want a clarification, here's Jim Gossett. New song called Recession.
A recession, that is what we're in. Huh? No one can deny.
Well, Paul Krugman did.
The White House is a tempting spin, but the numbers do not lie.
Yeah, but the White House does.
The GDP was negative for two quarters in a row.
Yeah.
That's a recession.
Yeah, generally.
And it's always been time to face the music, Joe.
Didn't know which way to face.
You see, it's still a recession by any other name. Biden's denial is lame. A recession, that is what we've got. Joe and Janet Yellen are lying a lot.
We're smoking a pot.
Recession by any other name. La, la, la. La, la. Biden, he is too bad.
There you go. That is Jim Gossett. Two S's and two D's. JimGossettComedy.com. Yeah, recession is two quarters of negative growth. That's just the way it always has been. You know, it's just the way it is. And they're so audacious with their lies. They just think they can suddenly... I mean, honestly, they really think they're getting away with this. They really do. They think that the slavish media is going to carry their water, and generally they do. They really, really do. And to the point they would actually be willing to destroy what little, reputation you have as an economist. For instance, Paul Krugman, New York Times columnist, Nobel Prize winning economist. What the hell does it take to get a Nobel Prize these days? I mean, seriously? So Paul Krugman, he says that there's no recession. And this is, honestly, this is absolutely false. It is completely, arguably false. And consequently, he's taking a lot of heat over the interweb this weekend. And he should. And he should never be heard from again as a columnist or as an economist.
Are we in a recession? And does the term matter?
Say, is that Brian Stelter's show?
No, we aren't. And no, it doesn't. I mean,
one sentence. That was it, huh?
That was it.
Okay, good enough for me. Let's move on to other stuff.
It's none of the usual criteria that real experts use.
Oh, now it's real experts.
That we're in recession right now. And what does matter? The state of the economy is what it is.
Yeah, it sucks.
Jobs are abundant, although maybe...
Yeah, again, second and third jobs are coming back from retirement.
The job market is weakening. Inflation is high, though maybe inflation is coming down. What does it matter whether you use the R word or not?
Now they're calling it the R word. This is so fantastic. You know, there are several words in the English language. It's really funny. R used to be for ride... Or there are a million words that start with R, right? So now it's just the R word. It's like the N word. There are a million words, and no one, nowhere, not. Those things, you're all N words, but there's only one N word, right? And the F, they're frank and, it's fallacious of the PH, I guess. But anyway, there's a million words to start with F. There's only one F word. Now we've gone from only one N word, only one F word. Now there's only one R word, and that's definitely not what we're going through right now. Oh, yeah. Paul Krugman won a Nobel Memorial Prize in Economic Sciences in 2008 for his contribution to the evolution of international trade theories. This is one of those things at the Oscars that is the very end of the... No, not like right in the middle, buried in the telecast and sometimes not even broadcast. It's like this guy's getting the Memorial Prize for Evolution of International Trade Theories. So that's like the foreign language film of the Oscars. He has, however, long carried a reputation of being overconfident in his economic and social predictions, many of which have proven to be wholly incorrect. Wholly incorrect. Managing director of investment firm Thiel Capital and mathematical physicist Eric Weinstein tweeted about him, reason, fact, analysis, total BS. A fact, a lie, fact. Yeah, and then a whole bunch of other people have gone after Mr. Krugman about this. And it's convenient when we are in a recession, suddenly they decide to change the term. The headline from the UK Daily Mail, we live in an Orwellian hellscape. Facebook fact checks top economists for stating America is in a recession. What else has Facebook told you is verboten? Well, you can't talk about the 2020 election. You couldn't say anything about Hunter Biden's laptop. You couldn't say anything about any kind of treatment for COVID. For COVID, only Paxlovid. After Paxlovid was okayed and the government gave the pharmaceutical company that makes Paxlovid a bleep ton of money, just a ton of money. Philip Magnus, the research and education director at the American Institute for Economic Research, believe the U.S. is in recession. But Facebook placed a fact-checking label on a post written by this guy saying that the United States is in a recession. And this guy says that Facebook has turned America into an Orwellian hellscape. No, we've just become a whole hell of a lot like Cuba and a whole lot like North Korea. Yeah. Big time. Here is Austin Goolsbee, former economic advisor for Obama.
You know, you kind of put him in a gotcha situation, Neil. We're old friends, but I think you put him in a gotcha
on Neil Cavuto show.
Situation where there was literally nothing he could say. There's obviously inflation. Inflation is not a recession. Inflation makes people upset. Consumer confidence has...
Oh, upset. It's the first time in 40 years.
...has been quite low since there's been inflation, since gas prices were higher.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't mean that we should call it a recession.
No, it's something else.
Well, what is your definition?
Now, if Donald Trump were in office, oh, hell yeah, it would have been a recession after the first quarter. It probably would have been like a recession last February, right after the swearing-in ceremony. All right, so got more on this coming up. Your calls are welcome at 800-922-6680, a Monday edition of The Rob Carson Show. Don't go anywhere. It is the Rob Carson Show. I am under the influence of Claritin D, actually. And it works pretty nicely. So I want to mention something real quick. Dick Morris has got this wonderful new book. It's called The Return, and it is in bookstores everywhere. And it's talking about, The Return is about Donald Trump's returning to the White House, which I hope and pray will happen in 2024. I think it will. Dick Morris thinks it will. A lot of people think he will. And he said that there are three threats that Donald Trump still faces. And if you'd like to find out about it and read the book, and Dick Morris is spot on, much more so than Paul Krugman with regard to the economy, you can get The Return, which is in bookstores everywhere, and you can get it for free. All you got to do is go to thereturn911.com today. If you do that, it would be huge. Thereturn911.com. You're going to see some information about the Newsmax newsletter, which is awesome, and then also the opportunity to get this book for free. So thereturn911.com. Thereturn911.com. So I was talking to Brian, my producer, off the air, and he says, well, what the heck is a recession if they're going to redefine a recession? If they're going to take what has always been a definition of a recession, which is two quarters of negative growth, which means the economy contracts, it gets smaller, what are they going to recall it? What are they going to redefine it as? And I said, very simply, they're going to keep that part the same. They're going to say a recession is when the economy contracts in a negative fashion, well, which is always the case, for two quarters in a row, when a Republican is president. That's the new definition. So it's going to keep that part of the same, but it's only a recession if a Republican is in office. Here's a little bit more from Austin Goolsbee, which, I mean, is a perfect name for this guy. Used to be economic advisor for Barack Obama. Presumably still is behind the scenes.
I think the...
Well, what is your definition of recession? I know the National Bureau of Economic Research, that they come up, these eight economists, with charting the beginning and the end of recession. I get that. Dude, what do you look at, Austin? When you were in the Obama administration, what did you look at?
I don't look to come up with the phrase, is that a recession or not a recession?
So now I guess we're going to just get rid of recession altogether. Recession talk altogether. Everything negative about the economy when a Democrat is president will be stricken from the record.
I think where you are correct.
Because you knew it was. You knew when you came into office it was a recession. There was no doubt, right?
You can't. We've never had a recession.
There was a recession when George Bush was a president and Barack Obama was running for president. It was the worst recession in the whole world.
In the United States, where jobs were growing. So on that point, I think they're right. We haven't been in a recession.
I said a couple months ago, I said, if you think that the best and brightest are in government, you might be right in a couple of cases. But by and large, no. If you got people in government who say things like this, they're morons, all right? If you look at practically every sector of the federal government right now, who's in control of those sectors, whether it be the border, whether it be transportation, what do you see? You see idiots. You see career bureaucrats or academics who know nothing. Paul Krugman, not a member of the administration, but still academic moron, complete and utter moron. And you can stumble your way through government. You can stumble your way into a Nobel Prize for being complete moron. It is remarkable. And you and I know what a recession is. We've been going through it. And I said this last week. I would venture to say that the first signs of recession are not two quarters of negative growth. Those are the final signs that it is truly a recession. The other signs, you're already living through. You are already living through them, and you've been living through them for more than a year. This is the CEO of Home Depot, where I give about 10% of my annual income. You know, normally that's what people do with the church, and I would encourage that. But 10% of my income generally goes to Home Depot just out of happenstance because they keep moving into old houses. Anyway, here is the CEO of Home Depot who is in the thick of it all. He sees it every single day. People cutting back. Some people probably using their credit cards more than they normally would. The Ken Langone talking about the U.S. being in recession.
You have 200 basis points or 2 full percentage points more than inflation, and we're carrying a 9% or so inflation rate. You would have to get up to that level just to sort of counter. Now, I guess the Fed is hoping that by raising interest rates again and again.
And this is an old formula. It's the only thing the Fed can do. It's the only thing that the only playbook the Democrats have. And we've gone through this before. The Democrats see the economy needs help. So what they do is they refer to Franklin Roosevelt, the New Deal. That's what they're trying to do. It is a glorified version of the WPA. It is, sending money to their cronies to fill in potholes, dig holes, and then fill them in. And what ultimately happens is an abundance of spending, and the dollar is cheap, and then inflation rises, and when inflation rises, they raise the interest rates. Here we go again.
And again, they don't have to go that high. That will slow the economy enough that you'll never see the interest rates you did when you were founding, you know, Home Depot. I'm just wondering, is that doable? Because that's a mighty task.
Sure, it's doable. Paul Volcker took interest rates up to over 20%.
That's right.
To stop the back of inflation in 81 and 82. Of course it's doable. It's painful.
Remember those days, kids? I don't. I was in middle school.
It's particularly painful in an election year where you want to get reelected. But that's not our problem. That's the politician's problem.
Ding, ding, ding. You're right.
The fact of the matter is we need to figure a way out to snap the back of inflation. Inflation is destructive. Go look at countries like Venezuela, Colombia, Argentina,
sure.
Brazil. Mm-hmm. When you get rampant inflation, trust me, you have social unrest because the poorest people, the people that work the hardest, the people who have the least are the ones that get punished the most.
And that's what the people in charge want. This is the class of 1968. More than 4 in 10 Americans have been forced to cut back on everyday habits and items, including the amount of groceries they purchase. As a result of Bidenflation, they're calling it Bidenflation, could be Bidenpression. Cost of basic items, food, rose in more than 9%. I just heard that July's inflation was the highest it's ever been, at least in 50 years. Food rose 10.4% in the last year. Energy costs have risen 41%. Gasoline 60% last year after it had already risen a great deal, over 100%. Everybody's celebrating. You know, I went up and filled up my gas tank. It was about $4 a gallon. It's like, hallelujah, it's 65 cents cheaper than it was a couple weeks ago. But it's still $2.13 higher than it was last year or the year before when Donald Trump was the president. Here is the brutal toll of inflation under Biden's leadership. American families, listen to this. This isn't a big deal to people who live in Washington, D.C. This isn't a big deal to the ruling class. American families, on the average, per year, $5,915 more on everyday items. 45 products, most Americans burning a hole in the pockets of the average urban shopper. Consequently, people are dropping them from the menu. Eggs up 33%, chicken 18%. Men's suits, which I only have to wear for job interviews and funerals. And haven't been to a few. Well, I went to a funeral last year. Anyway, 24.9% for a suit. Kind of makes getting a job a little harder. As a result, Americans have cut back on everything from entertainment to groceries to travel to make ends meet. About one-third are using their credit cards to fill the gap. That is a recipe for disaster, by the way. As anybody who's ever been really broke out of college can attest. I lived on my Amoco credit card for months after I graduated from college, making $18,000 a year in 1989. Oh, and this is another thing. This actually could be good. This could be good for the company, for childhood obesity. Hershey is warning of a looming Halloween candy shortage. Yeah. Could be the return of really bad candy that's been sitting there forever, like circus peanuts. You know, those orange circus peanuts, which taste a lot like styrofoam packing peanuts. Now I'm going to have these people call, the circus peanuts were the best darn candy in the world. That and blackjack gum, those two, and Necco wafers. My gosh, those are the best candies ever. No, they were terrible candies. But they were perfect in 1930. They were the best candies because, you know, so many people were eating dirt, I guess. So anyway, it could be the return also of the popcorn ball. Remember getting popcorn ball rolled in saran wrap? Did anybody ever like the popcorn ball? Was anybody... No. Hershey's warned it will not be able to supply enough candy for Halloween and the Christmas holiday seasons. The candy company blamed a scarcity of raw ingredients for the insufficient supply. I wonder if the costume shortage is going to happen. That's okay, because if you got a son, you can just borrow some of your wife's clothing and pretend to be a girl and vice versa. Pandemic-induced global supply chain disruptions and the Ukraine-Russia war have crunched supplies of cocoa, edible oil, and other food ingredients. So the 128-year-old company manufactures some of the most beloved Halloween candy. If you ever get a chance to go to Hershey, Pennsylvania, it's pretty cool. We did the factory tour and everything. There are no little people working there, by the way. It's a different company. Some of the most beloved candies that they offer are Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, also known as Reese Cups in places like Kentucky. Hershey's Chocolate Bars, Good and Plenty, which kids really don't like. Bubble Yum, favorite from my childhood. Twizzlers, which I still love. Milk Duds, which don't wear if you have dental work. Fifth Avenue. Nobody has bought a Fifth Avenue bar in like 15 years, I don't think. And, of course, Hershey's Kisses. So there. And by the way, they raised their price to 6.5%. So, and then, of course, 66% of Americans say the country is in a recession. Or even worse. How is it possible that the Biden administration, literally, you just heard Austin Goolsbee and Paul Krugman, and they say that we are high if we think there's a recession, but 66% of Americans say the country is in a recession? Could it be that maybe they're just lying to us? I'm thinking it's they're lying to us. Either that or they just think you're stupid, and they disrespect you so much that they think they can get away with this, and they think that their water carriers in the media will cover it up, will kiss their boo-boo and make it better. Well, I ain't kissing no boo-boo. Suffolk University in USA Today did a poll of 1,000 registered U.S. voters. Asked participants if the economy is in an economic recovery, stagflation, or recession, or depression. 50% of respondents say the U.S. is in a recession. 16% declare the country is in a depression. There was an additional 18% who felt the nation was experiencing stagnation. 9% felt the country was in an economic recovery. And yet they're still going on television and saying, no, there's no recession. They just think you're stupid. Let's go to Mel in lovely Saratoga Springs, New York. Hello, Mel. Happy Monday to you, brother. What's going on?
Thank you, my brother, for taking the phone call, Rob. Yes, Mel from Saratoga Springs, New York, horse racing capital, thoroughbred horse racing capital of the world.
Yes, of course.
But anyway, yeah, that sissy boy, Austin Goolsbee and that sissy boy, Barack Obama, you know, all I would just, you know, request is just 2 minutes alone with them two guys. Just 2 minutes. That's all I need, Rob. Yeah. Hand to hand, 2 minutes. But anyway, as far as referring to this, these criminals in D.C. who are supposed to be our servants as the ruling class, they don't rule me. Yes, you know, they're supposed to go to, they go to D.C. to serve us, not us serve them. They don't rule. I just kind of hope that you refrain from that that term of the ruling class. They are our employees.
I know that, Mel.
Yeah.
I know that, Mel, but I've been saying this for literally over a decade. It is people move to Washington, D.C. to spend their entire lives telling us how to run ours, Mel. And that's how they're able to have the audacity and the ability to be able to say these things with a straight face and expect us to take it because they feel like they rule over us. Go ahead.
If I were to say something out of my mouth that was wrong, my mother would slap the taste out of it so quick that I wouldn't know what hit me. But as far as, you know, these people try to run my life, like the song says, I don't want you running my life because you can't run your own.
Absolutely. Mel, listen, I got to take a break. We are running up a hard break. I appreciate your thoughts, and I understand your sentiment because it makes sense, because you're tired of being told what you see is wrong when you know it's right. Let's take a break. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show.
Dissent is not disinformation.
It's the Rob Carson Show.
So we are being told that people being born with male chromosomes who have male sex organs are women when they decide they suddenly want to become women. And vice versa, with those born with female chromosomes being told they can be men. And then, of course, now you cannot say the R word. It used to be racism, right? The R word was racism. Everybody was racist and all this. You were racist. You never maybe said or did a racist thing in your life. But because you were born, you are somehow racist. And now you can't say the other R word, which is recession. And I mentioned that Philip Magnus is he's a researcher and education director of the American Institute for Economic Research. He believes that the U.S. is in a recession because we're in one, and everybody knows it. But the mainstream media is still trying to cover up for the Biden administration, and the Biden administration still thinks it can lie about everything. Here is Philip Magnus talking about Facebook taking down him, just stating the obvious.
Well, I basically shared a screenshot of the White House's own website where they attempted to redefine the concept of inflation. And economists have traditionally defined this term as two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth, which is the old textbook definition for inflation. It's kind of a shorthand, but it's something that works. It describes almost all recessions we've had in the United States over the past century.
Except this time, Joe Biden's the president.
And yet, just sharing that caused Facebook to flag it and put a fact check notice on my page.
There you go. So there's that. I got Facebook flagged a couple times this week, and they're still up to their same crap. They're still doing the same crap. They're still restricting your freedom of speech. Facebook has every right to do that, by the way. It's just that they led you to believe that you would be able to express yourself freely until you got invested in it with, you know, your baby kids' pictures and all this stuff. And then you decided to maybe do a little bit of, you know, political stuff on there. And that's when Facebook decided to shut down your free speech. But that's what they're doing. And you know the truth. You can see it. You live it every day. By the way, despite the fact that we have this glorious transportation secretary, and I would beg you to try and tell me what Pete Buttigieg has done, A, to deserve the position of transportation secretary, and B, what has he done, which is only make things worse, which I'm beginning to wonder is the modus operandi of the Biden administration. And I say that completely seriously. The only way you can screw things up this badly, I believe, is if it's part of your plan. If it's part of your plan. Because you know as well as I do what the solutions are, right? You know the solution to the southern border crisis, stay in Mexico. That was a Trump policy. Build the wall. That's something that Joe Biden is beginning to do in silence. And Corinne Jean-Pierre tried to deny it was happening. I'll get to that next hour. You knew that Hunter Biden's laptop was true. It was obvious because all the naked pictures of Hunter Biden and all the emails and everything. Dear God. The baby formula crisis has worsened. Out of stock levels, 70% in a country that is the leader of feeding the world. We have starving babies. 70% out of stock rate for formula nationwide. Where is Pete Buttigieg? Haven't seen him posting any baby photos yesterday. Because that was the big deal. He was named transportation secretary and he took 3 months off for paternity leave. Rhode Island and Vermont report the highest out of stock rates, 79% and 78% respectively. This literally 6 or 8 months into the baby formula shortage. If you're looking for a solution to our nation's problems, if you're looking to the Biden administration for it, there is no further evidence necessary that you're not going to find it in this administration. The opposite will be true. If they say they're going to do something, it means the opposite will be true. If they say they're going to tackle the baby formula crisis, the opposite will be true. If they say they're going to fix the border, the opposite will be true. I rest my case. Let's take a break. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show. Hey, guys, it's Carson. Zenith Firearms is an American-owned and operated company based in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Central Virginia. Initially founded in 2014, Zenith built its reputation for superb customer service through firearm and ammunition imports. With many years of expertise in the platform, Zenith is now proudly manufacturing its own line of U.S.-made roller-delayed blowbacks. Zenith provides the American people with a premium product made right here in the United States, starting with the introductory model, the ZF5. Newly released in 2022, the ZF5 is based on the most popular and iconic 9mm submachine gun, the MP5. While the ZF5 is available immediately, Zenith's three compact personal defense models are available for pre-order and will begin shipping later this year. Zenith proudly supports our nation's military, law enforcement, and responsibly armed citizens protecting the Second Amendment. Check out Zenith Firearms at zenithfirearms.com. That's zenithfirearms.com, or like and subscribe to their social media pages.
Rush Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
It is the Rob Carson Show, hour number two. We have got plenty to talk about, including building back broke. The Democrats, we thought maybe had given up on their climate green agenda, the Build Back Better, but Joe Manchin, he's a sellout. He's a sellout. And we'll get into that. This is not a big surprise. We kind of were hopeful that maybe he gave a rat's behind about his constituents in West Virginia, but he really doesn't. And I'm sure there probably was some sort of payoff involved. I think during the last reconciliation bill, there was some talk about his wife in the Department of Education being in command of a bunch of money in West Virginia to the tune of about $1 billion. We will certainly investigate that as it happens. But clearly, we have a ruling class in Washington, D.C., and then there are the rest of us. In the height of where you and I are suffering when we go to the store, when you and I are suffering with, filling our car with gas, living off, not even making it to paycheck, having to spend money on credit cards, giving up your dream of a home ownership this year because interest rates have doubled because of out-of-control inflation caused by the last bout of out-of-control spending by our federal government. Have any programs been cut in Washington, D.C.? I just want to ask real quick, do you suppose that you and me, maybe, I don't know where you're cutting in your life, maybe you got your thermostat cranked up. Mine this morning was at 76 degrees. That's why my wife said it. I said, honey, we can't keep it at 76 while I'm doing the show because my computer overheats. But, steak's pretty much off the menu at my house. We've got some extra. We've been to the point, trust me, where we haven't even made it to the paycheck. We understand where that's coming from, and so many people are going through that. But the Biden administration says no, that's not happening. It's not a recession. You're not experiencing a recession. What you're seeing is not real. It really is remarkable, and that's contributing to a rage and anger that is in the hearts of many of us. And I'm talking left or right, by the way. I'm talking liberal or conservative. When 85% of the country says we're going in the wrong direction, that means something. And if they're not willing to change course, and it doesn't sound like they are, it means one thing to me, and that is they want to continue on this course and sink the country. They want to do as much damage trying to live their Marxist, socialist, utopian dream of the class of 1968. And if you won't go for it, then they will force it upon you. And they did it again. They did it again. Giant tax hikes that'll kill American jobs. 15% rate on billion-dollar companies. $369 billion on climate. $433 billion on new spending, among other things. I saw Maria Bartiromo this weekend. And normally she's, she's a business analyst and whatever. She's kind of even keel. But even her, I could tell that she's tired of the nonsense.
As if the border was closed. As if they are not conducting a dereliction of duty. As if they are not using migrants as pawns by keeping an open border and hope that they will get Democrat voters. As if recession doesn't mean recession. It's all the same talking points. And it's all the same ignoring anything that is absolutely against what the American people want. As if there weren't massive amounts of fentanyl killing Americans getting seized at the border, as if people were not getting raped on their dangerous trek into America. It's all extraordinary, and it is all a dereliction of duty.
Oh, hello. Dereliction of duty. I call it indignities. Indignities suffered on you every day. People kicking you while you're down. People, I mean, literally kicking you while you're down. You're suffering through this. You're wondering, you know, can I fill the car with gas? Can I buy groceries? What are we going to cut? A lot of parents are not sending their kids to summer camps. A lot of parents are saying, you know what? You're not going to be able to do sports next year. We can't afford it. You know? These are the problems of the first world, I guess. But they should be expected. We should be able to do these things in the land of plenty, right? And then as you're suffering and then as you are getting ready to go to your second or your third job, they tell you that, oh, it's the R word. It really doesn't exist. There's no such thing as recession. There's no recession. Everything's good. Everything is great. Keep doing what you're doing. Get back to the fields with you. And Joe Manchin, actually, he had the audacity and the lack of shame to appear on all the Sunday talk shows this weekend and make it seem like, no, this is perfectly fine. Taxes are not going to go up. Companies are not going to raise the prices of goods by us increasing their tax rate. Businesses aren't going to cut employees because they have to pay higher taxes. No, sirree. Here he is talking with, I get, Brett Baer this weekend.
Well, here's the Tax Foundation. They say the proposed 15% minimum tax on corporate book income is the most economically damaging provision in the bill, reducing GDP by 0.1%, costing about 27,000 jobs. Here's Americans for Tax Reform on the energy portion. The legislation would impose a regressive tax on oil and gas development based upon emission levels.
This is an attack on Joe Manchin's constituents in West Virginia, by the way.
Of methane during production.
I would run his ass out on a rail from Washington, D.C. if I lived in West Virginia at this point. I would be completely done with this man.
Leading to higher energy bills for consumers and higher costs of everyday.
The Democrat Party values of 2022 do not match the values of people, particularly in West Virginia, in 2022.
Products. Are they wrong?
We've worked with all those industries all the way through this piece of legislation on my side. All of my staff did. And when they're talking about the things they're talking about, that's not true at all.
Mm-hmm. Here's Joe Manchin being asked whether or not Democrats should stay in control of both houses, even though they've driven our country into the pits of hell. He's not even willing. This will show you what kind of a weasel this man is. He's a weasel. He's a troll that lives under a bridge.
Do you hope Democrats keep control of the House and Senate?
I think people are sick and tired of politics, Chuck. I really do. I think they're sick and tired of Democrats and Republicans fighting and feuding and holding pieces of legislation hostage because they didn't get what they wanted or something, or someone might get credit for something. Why don't we start doing something for our country? Why?
Oh, please. Dear God in heaven, this is more nonsense. This is more gobbledygook. This is more kicking the can down the road.
Why don't we just say this is...
How long have you been in office, sir?
...for America. I've always said the best politics is good government. Do something good, Chuck.
You think spending another $800 billion on nonsense is good for America when we're suffering?
But I'm not going to predict what's going to happen.
I'm not asking you to predict.
I just want to make sure we do something good. And this is...
What result do you want?
Yeah, please tell us. The party that is down with children being taught about sex and sexuality and transgenderism in kindergarten. Tell me that party needs to stay in power. Tell me the party that is down with defunding the police and the massive rampant increases in crime across America's Democrat-run cities. Tell us that you want Democrats back in office for more of this, sir.
Do you want the Democrats to keep control of the United States Senate and the House of Representatives?
Oh, I love, you know, I'm not making those choices.
Oh, did you hear that? Listen to that.
The Representatives.
Oh, I love,
he was going to say, oh, I'd love it. And then he realized, oh, crap, we're really polling terribly. I better not say that.
You know, I'm not making those choices or decisions on that. I'm going to work with whatever I have. I've always said that. I think the Democrats have great candidates that are running. They're good people I've worked with, and I have a tremendous...
Okay, hold on. We had to cut him off. The crap-o-meter that is common with a lot of our affiliate stations was pegging out, and there was a possibility that we might actually shut down because of all the crap in the airwaves from him. Here's Nancy Pelosi admitting over the weekend that this is all about spending, that this is all about the same crap, that this is taking a crisis, your crisis... Last time it was COVID and your fear of COVID, and they did everything they could to stoke COVID fear to terrify your children. And right now your children are reaping that. Your children are going through that. You're going to be going into the fall. My daughter's going to be a senior in high school. She missed out fully on about a year and a half of good quality education because 6 months she had no education at all because they didn't have a contingency for a school shutdown. Then they did hybrid learning. Then they did 6 months with stupid masks on. They did a year without any sports programs, any extracurriculars. Kids lost scholarships. Kids lost their senior years, the ability to compete where they wanted to compete, to get scholarships to go to college in athletics and other fields like acting or vocal music, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. None of that. And then they passed a massive spending bill, which has caused all of this. Well, you're living through right now. And all that matters to Democrats and I'll say Republicans as well, is that they use a time of crisis to spend as much as they can of your money, because all you are is a means of production and a means of income. And they are the CEOs of a $5 trillion company. And they direct the money that company spends to all of their friends, all of their cronies, all of their higher-ups, big pharma, big whatever. But here's Nancy Pelosi admitting what it is. It is a massive spending increase like we've never seen.
I learned of what was in there was just transformational. We've never spent this much money, even as much as we had originally. We've never invested this much
it's invested.
In such an important way.
Now, with all the investing they've done, I don't know, I'm thinking about the last 30, 40 years, maybe 50 years. All the investing that they've done, what have they done to fix anything? What has Joe Biden done since he came to office 50 years ago? What has he done? What has he done that he said he was going to fix? What exists as problems in our country that existed in 1973 when he took office? Everything. Infrastructure sucks. IRS still sucks. Healthcare, government healthcare still sucks. I can go out to schools, still suck. What are you going to fix? You're just going to spend some more? That's all they care about is spending more and rewarding their cronies. They don't care a thing about fixing anything, because what they'll do at the next election is they'll promise to fix it again, and the media will play along.
In a public-private way, to have the private sector play its role in this so we get more advantage than is just right there.
Is she drunk again? I think she's drunk again. I swear to God. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Oh, and this is funny. And Rob Reiner made a fool of himself again. Rob Reiner, of course, he played Meathead on All in the Family. He's directed some movies, including, I'm trying to remember. He's had a bunch of movies. Yeah, you know. He says that Joe Biden is the best president in 60 years. He says that screw politics, screw poll numbers. Joe Biden has a record of accomplishments in the first 2 years of the presidency that's gone unmatched for almost 60 years. I think what he means is that Joe Biden is the lowest poll numbers in 70 years and the worst economic performance as far as inflation is concerned in 40. So if that's the case, if that's the defining moment, then I guess he's right. Your calls are welcome, 800-922-6680. I have said that Democrats in states like California are like the aliens from Independence Day. I will explain what that's all about coming up. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show.
If you're looking for a woke take on current events, just go back to sleep, because you're not getting it here. It's The Rob Carson Show.
So last year, Joe Biden said that the vaccine would prevent infection from COVID. Everybody said it. Everybody said that it would prevent infection from COVID. When it turns out that it does not prevent infection from COVID, they changed the definition of the vaccine. And they said that it would lessen the symptoms if you get COVID. That was a lie. Vaccines don't do that. They don't. It's nonsense. It's falderol. Otherwise, you'd need measles boosters for your entire life. And Joe Biden got COVID last week, despite being double vaxxed and double boosted. Your argument for a vaccine is moot. Now, I'm not trying to make a choice for you. I made a choice for me a long time ago. It started before this nonsense. I said I'm not going to take the vaccine. And the reason being is I had a myocardial infarction when I was 30 years old because I had a strep throat and apparently got some sort of infection around the lining of my heart. So I said, I'm not going to mess with it. I got COVID. Wasn't pleasant. Hated it. And I took some meds that the federal government and social media decided without any review whatsoever were absolutely verboten. You could not say them. You could not talk about them. You couldn't say something about ivermectin. Ivermectin, my God, that is a horse dewormer. Did you know that the Merck treatment for COVID that was approved was equine encephalitis drug? Did you know that? A lot of the drugs we get start off as animal meds, and then they become human meds, you know? So anyway, Joe Biden not only got COVID, but he got it again. You know how he got it again? You want to know how he got it again? Well, he was on Paxlovid. Paxlovid was rushed through by the FDA so we could make drug companies a whole hell of a lot of money. That's what it was. Paxlovid was rushed through. Joe Biden went on the COVID-19 miracle drug Paxlovid. And apparently, it is not effective in fighting reinfection like they said it would originally. Yeah. Yeah, the COVID infection rate originally when Paxlovid hit the market, they said the reinfection rate only 2%. Just 2%. Well, it turns out about 40%. You know why? Because apparently Paxlovid actually depresses the immune system. It's kind of interesting. Yeah. New studies show the COVID-19 miracle drug is not preventing against reinfection rates initially reported. One doctor suggested the rebound rate for a course of Paxlovid is 20 to 40% high or higher. It's kind of interesting, though. Pfizer raked in $8.1 billion in the second quarter selling Paxlovid. Isn't that kind of interesting? It's just kind of funny. Now, when I had COVID, I took hydroxychloroquine. And if you don't think that hydroxychloroquine works to some degree for as a prophylaxis, you don't have to. But about a billion Indian people do. They say, oh, yeah, works pretty well. They actually give it to people in India because a billion people have received it. It's a very safe medication, and they found it to be pretty effective. And then ivermectin is something that I took. Some people had great results with ivermectin. I think for me, it was hydroxychloroquine, to be quite honest, but who the hell knows? But all that matters when it comes to drugs that get approved are very large pharma corporations, very deeply entrenched in Washington, D.C., and the ability to make a buttload of money. Yeah? Taking Paxlovid leaves COVID sufferers in danger of testing positive for the virus again very quickly after clearing their initial infection, which is one of the reasons why Joe Biden, after embarrassing himself by double vaxxing and double boosting and getting COVID, which normally would be embarrassing to somebody, saying so assuredly that you should take the vaccine, and him standing behind the military and businesses and public sector employers that removed people from their payrolls because they wouldn't get the vaccine. And then along comes Paxlovid. He starts talking Paxlovid. Everything's going to be fine. And he gets COVID in the same week. In the same week. So there's a double burn. There's a double sick burn. Unbelievable. COVID came to market December of 2021. Studies from Pfizer indicated only 1% to 2% of patients who took the drug tested positive for COVID again shortly after finishing their dosage. So either Joe Biden is a really unlucky person or they were lying about the percentage of infection after taking Paxlovid. I try not to make this too complicated because certainly I'm not a medical expert. But if you just read a little bit and you talk to some people, you can make a more informed decision. Like, for instance, the only about 1.4% of parents of children 5 and under have decided to get their kid, their little kid, vaccinated for COVID because they've discovered the kids don't really need it. That said, Joe Biden had already ordered 105 million doses of COVID vaccine for the fall. Now, they've already been paid for. Now they all need to be given to you. And you're saying, no. So either that 105 million doses of COVID vaccine are going to be forced upon some people, or it'll be destroyed, or it'll be sent to a third world country, I guess. And by the way, also, this is just kind of a sideline, three physicians at one of the most prestigious hospitals in Canada, Canada's Trillium Health Partners in Mississauga, died unexpectedly in the same week after they'd received their fourth dose for COVID. It's kind of weird. It actually happened. They even put the obituaries in the paper to say that they died. It's not saying what they died of, but all three of them took their fourth dose of COVID vaccination, and they all died during the same week. What are the odds? Certainly better than winning the Powerball this weekend or the Mega Millions. Let's take a break. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show. Don't go anywhere. Monday edition of the Rob Carson Show, already August the 1st. Can you believe this? Big primary day in a lot of states around the country. One tomorrow in I live in Kansas, the Kansas side of Kansas City. There's an important ballot issue with regard to abortion. We will get to that later. Then, of course, Arizona tomorrow, we'll find out who the Republican gubernatorial candidate for governor is. Carrie Lake is ahead in the polls right now. Someone who is actually in AZ this morning or this afternoon, depending on where you are. CEO and co-founder of Free Space Social Incorporated, Mr. John Willis joins us on the Newsmax hotline. John, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Rob.
So I saw a major economist over the weekend, and I have the story in front of me, being censored for saying the R word, which is now not racism, it's recession, on Facebook. For a while, it seemed like maybe Facebook, maybe Twitter might lighten up a little bit on censorship, particularly of conservative speech with Elon Musk attempting to purchase Twitter. It appeared that way, but it looks to me like they're back to where they were. What are your thoughts on that, John?
It's just another way to control the narrative of what's what the left wants to put out there, and way to control truth in general. And it's been a problem that we've had with big tech for years. I mean, if something doesn't fall within their ideology or their point of view, then what they do is they censor, shadow ban, or do whatever they can to stop any opposing voices.
Yeah.
In order to put out what they want. And you know, in my opinion, it's just propaganda all over again. I mean, it's what we saw in the 1940s and 30s in Europe. It's what we see out of Russia and China, where they, you know, take truth, they twist it. They, you know, put out what they want to put out, and whatever they put out is considered truth, even though it isn't. And so that's what's happening right now.
So now tell me about your company, because, you know, I'm not beholden to a particular social media network. I belong to Truth Social. That's Donald Trump's social media network. I find that my response on that has been pretty well. Getter. I know Jason Miller. I like Getter. I like both of those. I just kind of keep profiles on Twitter just because it's there. And I also get video clips off the Twitter for my TV show. Facebook, by and large, is just meant to reach family members. And I play a little bit on my Facebook show page, and then I've got a personal page, which is all just family pictures. But tell me about your company and what is different and what caused you to create your company.
Sure. We launched Free Space February 1st of 2021 as a direct response to the massive, we call it the conservative purge in social media, right after the 2020 elections. And we saw not only President Trump being banned everywhere, but we saw, you know, content creators, influencers, and just regular Joe Schmo Americans being silenced. And so we had a real problem with that. And so we decided, you know, we have the ability to launch a social media platform in a very short period of time. Well, we built it from scratch, and we put it out on the market in less than 30 days of making the decision to actually move forward. And you know, ever since then, you know, within 3 weeks, we received a phone call to come down to Mar-a-Lago to meet with the president.
Wow.
We met with he and his team, you know, because at that time he was trying to figure out what he wanted to do, whether he wanted to build his own platform. Yeah. Or buy or join another. And so we, of course, we went down there and started those discussions. But what we wanted to do is we wanted to do something different than what your traditional alternative platforms were doing or the mainstream platforms. We wanted to create an atmosphere that isn't just a conservative echo chamber.
Okay.
We want free space to be for everyone. So whether you're left or right, you know, conservative, liberal, it doesn't matter. Free space is for everyone. But we want to give people the opportunity to have freedom of opinion, freedom of information, freedom to speak their mind, freedom to debate without some tech overlord determining what is true and what isn't. It's not our job as a platform to tell people what they can or can't do with regards to their opinions. Now, we have rules in place, to prevent, pornography or illegal acts and that type of stuff on the platform. I mean, that's a given. But we really saw the need to put something out there that will allow people to not only have free speech, but the ability to grow their business, to grow their brand, the ability to have unfettered communication with each other without worrying about their data being sold to government agencies or to private industries without their messages being read by some nerdy guy in a dark room. Yeah. I mean, we just want to, just make things simple again, give everybody the features that they love about social media without all the garbage that they hate. And so, the way we look at Free Space is Free Space is a platform for communication, for commerce, and for conversation. And we want to be able to do that. And we have been, we've had a great success since we've launched. But what we're really trying to do is really focus on positivity and rewarding our users with all sorts of, gamification type badges and stuff when they post positive things. We're just trying to change, just come out with a completely different approach than just your, oh yeah, speak your mind. If you hate, Biden or you hate this, you hate that, go ahead and spout it off here. We actually want to try something a little bit different.
Well, and I think you are talking about a traditional how America should be, to be quite honest. We've seen, for instance, I get flagged on Facebook all the time. On the day after the election in November of 2020, I had a Facebook page that was reaching hundreds of thousands of people on a weekly basis. It was experiencing exponential growth. It was gigantic. And on the day after the election, I went to sign on a computer, and it was gone. The page was gone. There was no excuse for it. There was no reason for it. And there was no ability to get it back. There was no one to get in touch with at all. There was no customer service line whatsoever. There was nothing I could do. They were just gone. The same thing happened with the walk away movement. 500,000 people sharing their stories, largely people of color, walking away from the Democrat Party, suddenly gone from Facebook. And I hope to hell that when Republicans take over both houses of Congress, I hope and pray this happens in November, that some people are held responsible for it. Because I think we have reached a point where we have become essentially an oligarchy. People like you are the antithesis of that. You are not Mark Zuckerberg. Mark Zuckerberg figured out that he could contribute $400+ million to the Democrat Party and help to rig elections, help to skew elections. And to me, that screams oligarchy. On the heels of that, what do you suppose? Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg addressed his employees. He's lost half of his net worth. Facebook is getting ready to do some job cuts. We've seen the same thing happening with Twitter. What do you see happening with those two big companies that have kind of been had a monopoly on social media for years, who appear now to be on a downward spiral?
I think what we're going to see is we are going to see Facebook correct its course in a way where now they're starting to realize that their woke policies are basically shooting themselves in the foot. They took a huge loss in revenue this past quarter, if I'm not mistaken. If you look at how they run their ad platform with all the rules and regulations that they have on it, it's absolutely ridiculous. I own a marketing agency as well, and just to get ads approved on Facebook is a nightmare because it's so fluid with what they allow and what they don't allow. It seems like they change it on a minute by minute basis. And so, from a business standpoint, it's such a moving target with Facebook. You just never know. So, what we're seeing now is they're, he's got 75,000 employees at Facebook, and he's probably going to let go, I don't know how many, maybe 20% or 15%. But even still, it's all self-inflicted. Same thing with Twitter. I mean, Twitter put itself in this position by going so woke, by limiting speech to the point where they silenced the most powerful man on the planet. And you can't expect things to go well after that. And so here's Elon, suing Twitter and Twitter suing him, mainly because they will not release information that he is contractually obligated to receive about their bot accounts. And so it's just like, what's going on with you people? Haven't you guys ever taken a business class before?
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like their ideology clouds any type of common sense or rational thought when it comes to actual business. And that's why we're seeing Twitter stock drop by 40% and Facebook stock drop and their revenue drop. It's all self-inflicted.
Yeah, and I was likening this to what's happened on college campuses for the last 35 years or so. Right now on college campuses, we have they are essentially a protected class, people who are tenured, people who can sit in the faculty lounge and talk about, you know, communism is the right form of government. It's just never been tried. It's never been done properly, which is nonsense. I've been hearing that, you know, since I was in high school or before. And we're seeing the people on college campus, what I would consider to be the first generation of the woke class of 1968, graduating, establishing itself in the business world in the form of, say, for instance, Mark Zuckerberg or the previous head of Twitter, Jack Dorsey. They are the progeny of the class of 1968, and it worked for a while when they were in control to be able to bring some of the same things, the same theories that have been kept on campus, and we're seeing those ideals do a face plant. Is that what you think we are seeing, possibly these woke individuals grabbing social media, owning social media, and now that other people have said, hey, we want people to speak freely, that those that their theories, like they did on campus, have failed?
What I tell all my friends that go and get an MBA is I said, hey, I need you guys to go onto YouTube and watch a clip from the movie Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield.
Yes, yes.
And there is a scene where he's got this British business economics instructor talking about launching a factory, building a factory, and they're going to be producing widgets. And Rodney Dangerfield, who's a multimillionaire, who's sitting in that class, and he goes, ah, that's not how it is. First, you got to grease the unions, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. And so you've got the professor that's teaching the theory, and then you got the real educator that's in the classroom. And what happens in that scene? All the students are taking notes from Rodney Dangerfield and not from the teacher, because he's actually done it.
Exactly.
And I can't tell you how many times where I see the difference between those in the classroom and those actually in the workforce producing and making it happen. So all these social economic theories that we see, you know, indoctrinated into kids today in college, you know, when they're actually put into use, guess what?
Yeah.
They don't make any money
because
there's no rational thought behind it. It's all feel good. Socialism is great. Communism is great. But when you really get down to the nitty gritty, it sucks and it doesn't produce.
All right. So you're going to be at CPAC in Dallas coming up on the 5th. What are you going to be covering?
So I'm going to be speaking about pretty much the reformation of social media and where social media goes from here, because we are seeing a shift. I mean, not only with big tech banning Donald Trump, but also what Elon is doing, because that has awoken a sleeping giant with regards to the direction of social media. And big tech's starting to feel it.
Oh, yeah.
They're trying to do everything they can to stop what's happening. But the American people and the globe in general, They want their freedoms back. They want to be able to consume information and speak their mind, and we're going to be talking about that.
Very good. Well, you know, and the funny thing is, all of these things are your opinion, your constitutionally protected opinion. You have the right to have an opinion, even if it's wrong. Somebody else can't decide that your opinion is wrong and shut you down. That's the most egregious thing about this. This is how they abuse their power, and this is how they're going to ultimately pay for it. But I wish you the best, John. I greatly appreciate your time today. Free Space Social. I got the app on my phone. Anywhere else that people can find you, John, and find out more about Free Space Social, among other things?
You can follow me on all the social platforms at Real John Willis. You can find out about Free Space Social at freespacesocial.app. And then it's available both in the Google and App Stores. And then we're going to be launching a whole new version of Free Space within the next month or two.
Okay.
That's a completely rebuilt platform that's going to have, you know, TikTok style video features, live streaming, you name it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And it's not owned by the Chinese.
It is not. It's owned by good old red-blooded Americans.
Americans. So. All right, John. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate you being on the show today. We'll have you on again soon. Let's take a break. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show.
Donald Trump says he's the funniest man on TV. Just wait till he hears him on the radio. It's The Rob Carson Show.
Had a delightful weekend. Got to hang out with my my wife last night. She went and visited her mom. She came back, and we decided to watch a movie. And my she chose. It was a choice. We could watch The Graduate with Dustin Hoffman or All the President's Men, a movie that I probably haven't seen since I was in middle school. Maybe. What a snooze fest. My God. What a El Snoozola fest. Painting a, you know, putting a lipstick on the pig of the Watergate investigation. And I honestly, you know, whatever, we watched the movie. And I all I could think about through the entire movie was how simple things were compared to the abject corruption of Washington, D.C. today. You know, we have things happening in this country today that make Watergate look like child's play. You've got a president who clearly has been compromised by China. It's very clear. They've written books about it, all based on laptops that his son, who is so high on crack and booze that he left very personal information on several laptops at a Delaware repair facility. The repair facility tried to get a hold of the guy, but he was so busy, you know, doing prostitutes and getting high on crack, he didn't get it. So he turned it over to the FBI. The FBI tried to cover it up twice. Ultimately, it got out there after the election. It was held by the FBI going into the election of 2020. Could have turned the election around despite all the stealing that happened. And yes, I still believe absolutely 100% 2020 was stolen. My constitutionally protected opinion. And then you got things like COVID mandates, business closing mandates, people being told they couldn't go to church or open their business. You've got the southern border completely open. There is no southern border. Don't let anybody try to fool you. And then politicians that lie to you about everything. We're $30 trillion in debt. We are at a 40-year high on inflation in this country. We've got people living paycheck to paycheck, sometimes not making it paycheck to paycheck. We were energy independent for the first time since before Watergate. And Joe Biden came in and turned us upside down and made us depend on OPEC and our enemies once again, and is actively shipping oil from our petroleum reserves, our strategic petroleum reserves, to our enemies, including China. And I'm watching five clumsy burglars break into Democrat Party headquarters in the Watergate Hotel, and I'm going, oh, my God. First thought was, my wife said, where's Forrest Gump? I thought he was the guy who called the feds. Anyway, it's just remarkable. We are honestly, you could almost compare the tech of the day and the scandal of the day to the tech that we have now and the scandals that we have, and both of them have expanded beyond our wildest beliefs. I'm watching last night. Could you imagine sitting at a desk where there's nothing there but a phone and a typewriter? That's it. You could only call at your desk or at home, and a rotary phone. And I was talking about, you know, the breaking of the Watergate story happened after days, after phone conversations and a meeting with Deep Throat in a parking garage and all of that. And here today, it's on social media. Immediately, it's all over the place. But now we have a media that is working with a party who is working with social media, something we never dreamed of in 1970, whatever, to cover up the truth. It's remarkable. It really, really is remarkable. And for that, I guess it was worth watching, even though I was bored out of my mind watching All the President's Men. Just didn't think it was as good as everybody said it was supposed to be. Anyway, we've got much more to get to in the third hour of the radio program, including the psycho sexual assault of women. It's not only happening here, but around the world. I'll explain what I mean in just a few. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show. Back in a few.
Rush Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Hour number three of the Rob Carson Show underway. I want to thank Mary Walter for filling in on Friday. I guess it's allergies, what I've been experiencing. Uncontrolled coughing and sneezing and Claritin. I'm on Claritin. I'm on the antihistamine, the plain label Walmart version, and the plain label Walmart nasal spray. So I have done a little research, and apparently I think it's ragweed. This is just self-diagnosis talking to you. So anyway, I'm glad to be back. And Mary, thank you for filling in. I greatly appreciate it. Real quick here, Nichelle Nichols played Uhura on Star Trek, died over the weekend. She was 89. And it's Nichelle, by the way, not Michelle. I was thinking about this over the weekend. I did. It's interesting because when you're, you know, in your 20s and in your 30s, you look at your parents' generation, you know, how antiquated the technology was, many times antiquated the attitudes were and whatnot. And Star Trek was pretty remarkable. It was a pretty remarkable show because up until that point, and I'll admit it, I mean, you know it as well as I do, entertainment by and large in this country, pretty white, you know, pretty white. Let's just be honest. It didn't really start to integrate fully until like the 70s, really, with some of the Norman Lear shows, All in the Family, The Jeffersons, Good Times, all that. And, you know, we were such racists living in Iowa. Watching it every week, didn't even think about color. We just thought it was really funny. Sanford and Son, thought it was really funny. Just thought it was great. Didn't matter. None of my family, my dad, World War II veteran, we didn't sit there and go, oh, those black people. My God, I can't believe those black people have TV parts. Oh, my God, you got to get rid of them black people. No, it was none of that. Didn't even think twice about it. Roots came on. Alex Haley, nobody said, hey, man, I wish we could. Boy, that slavery was awesome. I wish we could go back to that. No, we all just sat there and kind of went, wow. Yeah, this is pretty important. This is on television. It's really cool. Really, really important. Really, really cool. Star Trek rolled around, what, 1966-ish, I guess, and had an Asian dude, a Russian dude, Scottish dude in the engine room, had a black female there as the, well, wasn't she navigation? Wasn't that what she did, essentially? Communications. Sorry. Da-da-da. She, like Corinne Jean-Pierre, she was not a lesbian, and she was not from, you know, another country living in the United States. So she wasn't historical that way. But it was kind of interesting to see. And a couple things kind of happened this weekend that were funny. One of them was on the 30th, Saturday, was the imaginary birthday of George Jetson. George Jetson. That's supposedly the birthday of George Jetson, July 30th of 2022. And so it would be 2062 when the Jetsons took place. And they did a kind of an analysis of the things that that came true. For instance, we don't have a bossy robot maid named Rosie. We have a Roomba, and we call him Steve, actually. We've got a Roomba, one of those little vacuums that goes off and runs around the house by itself. His name's Steve. We put Google Eyes on him, you know. So there's some things, and then some things we never dreamed of. Star Trek, for instance. Remember the communicator that they held? The communicator? That was a glorified cell phone, guys. All you could do was talk by just voice. It was a walkie-talkie. And I got here, the Library of Alexandria times 5,000. Never even dreamed of having a supercomputer with a phone app in your pocket. Can you imagine dropping somebody from 1970 on the planet today? And again, I watched All the President's Men last night, bored out of my mind. And I looked at the tech then, and I was like, to my kids, you would go insane. Because if you wanted to know something, you had to go to the library. You had to go to the library and get the stuff. You had to go get the microfiche. You had to get the newspapers that were there in the archive. It was nuts. Hell, that even happened when I was in college. They just started, computers, using computers. It's kind of bizarre. So, amazing technical achievement. Honestly, amazing technical achievement since that time. And yet, and I hate to get philosophical, but we're unhappier than we've ever been. Kind of weird that way, right? The more we're connected, the sadder we are at times. And a lot of it has to do with disconnection and forgetting real human interaction and sitting on a computer and, you know, not going into work and doing a Zoom call and, you know, all these things. All these things have kind of messed things up. Are we better off than we were in 1970? Well, it depends. I was talking to my wife about this. I'm like, think about what a cell phone has done to, say, for instance, if somebody gets in a car crash. Somebody gets in a car crash. You're on the side of the road. You're hanging upside down in your car. nobody's nearby. You got the cell phone. You can reach your cell phone. You can call 911, or you can have the tracking system device on the cell phone can find where you are upside down in that car. And then my wife said, "Yeah, but what about all the phones that have caused car crashes?" Oh yeah, there's that. There's that. We were distracted in other ways in the 1960s and 1970s. Kids screaming in the back of the car and whatnot, but we're not trying to hold conversations with somebody on a freaking phone, literally typing messages to them while we're driving either. It's kind of bizarre. But, you know, Nichelle Phillips, pretty amazing actress, I should say, in an interesting time. Corinne Jean-Pierre repeatedly insisted the Biden administration is not finishing Donald Trump's border wall. Now, there are four wide gaps in the border wall near the Morelos Dam in Yuma sector of Arizona, and they will be completed using the funding from the Department of Homeland Security's 2021 budget. So they're actually building the wall. If they were down with not building the wall, they would tore down the whole wall, right? But no, like so many things that the Biden administration lies about, for instance, we know we're in a recession. There's been a definition of the recession that has been constant for the last 50 years. The Biden administration last week decided to tear it up and throw it away and say it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter at all. And they trashed Trump's border wall. Donald Trump said walls work. They certainly do. They work around the gated communities that many bureaucrats live in. Work perfectly fine. There's that hypocrisy. You know, you stay at home, you shut your business, you wear a mask. I go to a baseball game, I go out to dinner, I don't wear a mask. You live in a neighborhood that is now populated with a lot of homeless people, a lot of illegals, and we live in gated communities. That's the way it is. It's the way of the world. But Peter Ducey on Friday would have none of it with Corinne Jean-Pierre.
Why is the Biden administration building a border wall in Arizona?
So
no, they're not. No, they're not. Okay, next question.
We're not finishing the wall.
Okay, here we go. Listen to this.
We are cleaning up the mess the prior administration.
You know, I got to tell you, this right here, this just really pisses me off. Because, you know, it's enough that you've effed up the border. But now you're saying that you were cleaning up a mess that didn't exist. You live in the mess. You bed down in the mess. You lie in the squalor of the mess. And you're saying that a president who actually shut down, by and large, illegal immigration, and you who opened the border wholesale, who literally your DHS secretary, who must be impeached, possibly even incarcerated. I'm not kidding. You're willing to say, after everything that we know about the border and the suffering that this open border has caused, with the massive sex trafficking of children, the massive influx of fentanyl that killed 107,000 people in this country last year, and she's willing to step over the bodies of all of those people to say, it was Trump that did that.
Left behind in their failed attempt to build a wall. And I just want to be very, very clear.
Now, normally, if you were anybody else, you'd let this go. And, KJP, you're right, even though you just lied.
On day one, we returned the money, the $8 billion the prior administration took from our military. We gave that back.
To Pfizer.
To the military, for military families, for schools, for bases. That's what that money
was. As we shut down the one in Afghanistan and gave $85 billion worth of our hardware to terrorists.
Was being used. That's what it was taken away from.
Other than that, we're doing a great job.
And so, again, what we're doing is cleaning up the mess that the prior administration has done.
Okay, I'm thinking that you've created quite a mess. That's why 85% of the American population feel the country's going in the wrong direction.
President Biden, when he was a candidate, said that there will not be another foot of wall constructed in my administration.
Yeah, there is that.
Administration. Yeah. So what changed?
Yeah.
We are not finishing the wall.
If walls work in that part of Arizona, is this the administration trying to get migrants to cross somewhere else, like in Texas? What is the plan?
We are not.
That's a great question, actually. Is that the plan?
Finishing a wall. We are cleaning up the mess that the
prior. Dear God in heaven, we're not this stupid.
Prior administration made. We are trying to save lives. This is what is.
I think we should do a daily countdown to when Jean-Pierre decides to leave the administration. I'm predicting it's pretty soon, and it's probably not going to be her choice.
This is what the prior administration left behind that we are now cleaning up.
No, not at all. The mess wasn't there. It was a trickle. Illegal immigration was a trickle. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it.
By finishing the wall, is this?
We are not finishing the wall.
Yes, you are. You are finishing the wall.
By filling in, finishing?
We are not finishing the wall.
By dear God.
Filling in.
I know you are, but what am I? I know you are, but what am I?
Is this racist?
I know you are, but what am I?
Because in 2019, when the former guy was proposing a wall.
Yeah, the former guy that everything worked, but it was still a mess.
Said,
according to you.
That it was his racist wall. So how is this any different? I'm just having a hard time understanding how this is any different.
I'm not even sure how you get to your first question to this question.
I can't understand how you get to your answer, to be quite honest. Because it's all nonsense. It's all nonsense. Real quick, let's go to Todd in Minnesota. Are you in Mille Lacs or Mille Lacs? Todd, hello.
I wish.
Where are you, man? Where are you? I didn't heard this name. Malacca?
Malacca.
But like
Fozzie Bear would say, waka, waka, waka.
Okay, I lived in the Twin Cities. I did morning radio in the 90s there for about 5 years.
I used to, but I'm not woke enough to live there anymore.
Oh, dear God. Well, they burned half of it down. What's your thoughts? Go ahead.
Well, you were discussing how the administration was saying it's not a recession.
Yes.
The biggest quagmire they're talking about now is sexual and trans, and it's in the inflation was transitory, and
yes.
So it's not a recession. It's a transcession. It isn't
yes.
What it really looks like to be. It's really a depression, and
yeah.
Even the Democrats are depressed that Biden is their representative.
It's remarkable. Todd, how do you feel, though, as a citizen of the country, when, like Corinne Jean-Pierre, we know that the wall is being finished in certain sectors, and she says, no, it's not. How does it feel to you as an adult having this conversation?
You ever seen, Life of Brian?
Oh, God, yes.
A mere flesh wound.
Is that life of Brian or is it the history of the world? I can't remember which. No, that was
remember.
Monty Python. It was Monty Python. Never
Monty
mind. No,
Python.
I know what you're talking
Monty
about.
Monty Python. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Holy Grail. Holy Grail. Yeah.
It's crazy. It's a bold-faced lie, but if you believe it, it's not a lie. Like Chance Stanger used to say on Seinfeld.
You bet. 100%.
If you believe it, it's not a lie.
100%. Todd, thanks for the call. Got to run to all you guys in Malacca. I love it. Thanks for calling me today. I appreciate it. Let's take a break. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show.
Opinions are easy. Entertaining? Not so much. It's The Rob Carson Show.
Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Gordon Chang is going to be joining us to talk about Nancy Pelosi's possible visit to Taiwan. She's in Singapore this morning, and there's a possibility she'll fly into Taiwan. China has said that if Nancy Pelosi attempts to fly into Taiwan, they will essentially shoot her down. Now, the only problem with that is apparently the Chinese don't have a radar tracking system that can see something as small as a broom, I guess, is what sitting on that line for about a half an hour now. You believe the 2020 election was
just
stolen?
What makes this senile old man?
I do.
Think he can be pres when he can't. Everyone knows this man can't keep from pooping his pants. He won the live vote, the dead guy vote, the fake ballots pulled out of the sky.
Misinformation.
He isn't really president, just a resident. He was chosen by mail.
Woo.
The only thing that he knows how to do every day, screwing me and you. Only thing that Joe can do is to fail.
Oh, he's doing it epically, too.
No, I really mean it.
Dems have got no hope. With this old dope, he has not met a gal that he won't grope. Biden has got a broken brain. His VP is lame. Kamala's been a big flop.
Flop!
Whoops, there goes Biden on the ground. On his knees stood Joe, as you
Brandon found. Falls.
Whoops, Joe Biden, he is going kerplop.
There you go. There you go. That is Jim Gossett, two S's and two T's, doing live votes. Is what it is. Check out JimGossettComedy.com. And then we've got information on a show that he's doing this month in Georgia, in Atlanta, the Atlanta area, that you may want to go to if you're around, or even make a little drive into town to see him, because, dang, he's good. Anyway, for those of you who are concerned, and I believe 80% of Americans are concerned about election integrity, because a lot of people in the country, including Democrats, are going, there's no way Joe Biden got 81 million votes. It doesn't make any sense. Election night doesn't make any sense. The cover-ups that have occurred since then have not made any sense. And you know why I think the 2020 election was stolen? It's because I'm not stupid. I am not stupid, honestly. And I get tired of being told that either what I have to say is misinformation or disinformation. I get tired of people telling me that, oh, no, that was already proven, when none of it has. And for those who would say that, you know, you think that the election wasn't stolen, I say, prove to me it wasn't stolen. You tell me, prove to me it was stolen, to prove to me it wasn't. So this is kind of cool. Republican National Committee has hit multiple election integrity milestones with 100 days left before the midterm elections. So these include 17 state election integrity directors, 28 in-state election integrity councils who have recruited tens of thousands of poll watchers and workers. This is big news. This is big news, because a lot of people are like, what are we going to do? They'll just try to steal it again. Well, it looks like a lot of people are very active and very involved. And if you're not, I hope you will be. Right? 190 or 100 days before election, the RNC has surpassed milestones 32,000 poll watchers in primary, general, and special elections so far this cycle. In addition, they've made over 65,000 unique volunteer engagements, have held over 2,700 election integrity trainings. RNC spokesperson Ronna McDaniel says, since the start of the cycle, we've made a multi-million dollar investment in our election integrity program, from engaging in over 50 lawsuits to recruiting thousands of poll watchers and poll workers to ensure transparency at the ballot box. And that's what we've got to do. That's what we have got to do. Because if we don't, we're going to have some major trouble. Now, this weekend, I saw a delightful report. Liz Cheney's running for election again. Did you know that? And she's going to get trampled. She is going down in flames. CNN went actually to Wyoming to poll people, and they were surprised to find out she done.
Cheney for a fourth term.
Are you planning to vote for Liz Cheney?
Can I cuss? Hell no.
Are you planning to support Liz Cheney?
Absolutely not.
What are your thoughts about Liz Cheney running for a fourth term?
Personally, I think she's had three too many.
Keep in mind, in 2020, Donald Trump won about 70% of the vote in Wyoming. So Liz Cheney's work on the January 6th investigation isn't playing so well with many Wyoming voters.
She's done us dirty.
How so?
Oh, God. Look at how she's done Trump.
Yeah.
I'm a Trump fan. I'm sorry.
So she lost your vote because of her role on the January 6th committee and what she's doing about Trump?
Yes. She's supposed to be supporting him. She's a Republican, for crying out loud.
No, she's not a Republican. She's a rhino.
Find her work on the January 6th committee just repulsive.
How do you feel about her work on the January 6th committee and her role?
It's all a hoax. It's all propaganda. Has nothing to do with anything. It's a witch hunt.
Well, she says she's defending what's important to people here.
Now, if it were a witch hunt, Liz Cheney would go into the bathroom, look in the mirror and go, oh, crap, I found her.
Here in Wyoming, upholding the rule of law, defending the Constitution.
If that was the rule of law, why doesn't he have a defense team in that courtroom?
Oh, there you go. So apparently having a big highfalutin ABC producer hasn't bode well for the January 6th committee. On the way, Gordon Chang to talk about Nancy Pelosi possibly going to Taiwan. Don't go anywhere. It is the Rob Carson Show. Monday edition. I can think of no better guest with regard to the discussion of our working relationship with China than Gordon Chang. He is an author. He is a columnist. He is a lawyer. He authored a book called The Coming Collapse of China. And he joins us on the Newsmax hotline. Long time no hear, my friend. How have you been? I think we got a little problem with the phone. Let's try it again here. Get it. Are you there, sir? Gordon Chang, are you there? All right, we've got a problem with the phone call. I'll let my producer hang up and call him again real quick. These kind of things happen when you do live radio. There's no doubting that this is live radio, so I'll listen to Brian in my ear. Talked about Gordon Chang getting back on the line. There are a lot of things going on with regard to China. Certainly, Joe Biden has been compromised by Chinese money. And certainly we are now, you know, discussing the possibility of a military conflict with China. That's what I'd like to talk to Mr. Chang about here in a second. How's that coming? Are we getting him on the line? If we are not, then I will move on to something else in the meantime. If we can't get this phone call connected to Gordon Chang. So we're waiting here real quick. Let's move on. Just real quick, while we were just talking about what's going on in states as far as primaries are concerned, Carrie Lake's running tomorrow in Arizona for the governorship of the state of Arizona. And her, well, the thing is, it's, I guess, oh, we got it back. Okay, let's go to Gordon Chang on the Newsmax hotline. I know he's on the road this morning. That's why we're having the issues this morning. Gordon Chang, welcome back. Are you there, sir?
I am here, Robin. Thank you so much.
Very good. Where are you this morning, my friend?
We are in Alabama, just a few miles north of the Florida line. We're headed to Hurlburt Field, which is an Air Force base, which is in the Panhandle in Florida.
Okay.
And you caught me in just outside a national forest where there apparently are no cell phone towers. But anyway, we're okay.
All right, well, let's talk, I guess, obviously, the first thing this morning, the possibility of Nancy Pelosi flying to Taiwan. The Chinese government has said that they will essentially shoot her down. You had a chance to ruminate on this over the weekend. You are closer to this than anybody I know. What's the possibility? Why are we in this situation?
Well, we're in this situation because deterrence has broken down. The Chinese saw the calamitous withdrawal from Afghanistan and the failure to deter Russia from invading Ukraine, despite our overwhelming power over Russia. And so the Chinese think that they can do what they want. And so this is an issue of failure of credibility, basically. Now, I'm very happy that the speaker is going to Taiwan, from all accounts. She's showing that she's not afraid of the Chinese, although President Biden seems to be intimidated by his counterpart, Xi Jinping.
Well, he had a two-hour conversation last week where he essentially read Joe Biden the Riot Act, and as so many other ways, we were served an indignity, and this being weakness on the world stage. How do you suppose that conversation would have gone if Donald Trump were on the other end of the phone?
I don't think the Chinese would have been so bold. If you look at the Chinese Foreign Ministry readout of the call, Xi Jinping essentially threatened the life of President Biden. Yeah. And if I were Biden and I heard someone make a threat like that, I'd be hanging up the phone. I mean, I don't care if Biden doesn't care about his own life. They should care about protecting the lives of Americans. And he let us down on that Thursday phone call when the Chinese made that threat.
Yeah. Well, what is the possibility of a military conflict with China at this point?
It is not insubstantial. And there are no safe options right now. And I think the least safe option would be for what Biden apparently wanted to do, which is to give in to the threats of the Chinese. Because if Speaker Pelosi didn't go to Taiwan, she would be emboldening and legitimizing the worst elements in the Chinese political system by showing everybody else that threats against the United States work. And then we would be in a horrible pandemic. So right now, this is exceedingly dangerous. Americans should be prepared that we will lose people, that we will be at war. I don't think it'll get to that.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, the Chinese can take us by surprise.
Yeah. And there are many ways that if anyone is paying attention, you will see what the Chinese government is doing to weaken us, to establish footholds in the United States, buying up farmland, frequently some of this farmland near military bases in the United States. We have seen a variety of other ways that China is becoming embedded in the United States. They are essentially essentially becoming dependent on China for our energy grid with this investment in green energy, which is clearly a giant investment in solar, which is exclusively, along with windmills and battery power, exclusively a product almost of China. So the more we become less dependent on oil, or at least we don't look at our own resources, we become more dependent on China. I guess if this were going to happen, this would be a time when China is in ascending power. They haven't reached their zenith yet, but they certainly are attempting to get there. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think one of the reasons why the Chinese are so aggressive, they don't respect the United States, they don't respect Biden. But also I think that Xi Jinping has a number of domestic crises right now. And I believe he wants to divert the attention of the Chinese people from policy mistakes he personally has made.
Yeah.
So for instance, you have the debt crisis, the mortgage boycotts, the bank runs. The list just goes on and on. So I think that China is just on to lash out. It is a product of weakness.
Yeah. Well, I've seen the bank protests there where people are not able to get their money out of their accounts. And consequently, the Chinese Communist Party has sent tanks into some of the afflicted cities. I also noticed, a lot of people don't notice, we had a nominee as comptroller of the currency who was not voted in as comptroller of the currency. She is a Chinese expat and a big supporter of communist China. They were going to try to move the United States in the direction of communist China with regard to getting rid of private banking in this country. Is that what you saw with her nomination and what we are seeing in China with regard to banking was essentially kind of the dream of what Joe Biden wanted to sneak in when we weren't paying attention?
Yes, I mean, her nomination was it's just outrageous. But, in general, going back to your excellent point about solar panels, we've got to remember that most of our solar panels are made in China and that every solar panel made in China is made with forced or slave labor of racial minorities, the Uyghurs and the Kazakhs and other Turkic peoples. So, Biden talks about how he wants to support the American worker. But his decisions are those that support the worst labor practices in the world. They support the Chinese workers. And he's done about almost everything he possibly can to make sure that American manufacturing cannot compete with slave labor.
As far as the possibility of an armed conflict, and I bring this back because it is the story of the day, Nancy Pelosi going to Singapore, has plans on going to Taiwan. This morning, the Chinese military is putting all sorts of viral videos up about the possibility of a conflict. If Donald Trump were the president and Nancy Pelosi were going over there and Nancy Pelosi went on and landed in Taiwan, I would have absolute confidence that China would not try to take this a step further if Donald Trump were in office. But I have a feeling if Joe Biden gives them the middle finger by flying Nancy Pelosi into Taiwan, that China's going to break off that middle finger in some way, shape, or form. What's the best case scenario? What's the worst case scenario in your mind?
Yes, the best case scenario is that the Chinese back down and that she goes to Taiwan and they back out. The worst case scenario is the Third World War, which is entirely possible. We've got war in Eastern Europe, which could easily spread across the Eurasian landmass into North Africa. The world right now is at a very dangerous point. It's almost like 1937, maybe even 1939. So Americans don't realize the danger. We sort of live in our own world. We don't think that what we do has consequences. But, you know, you're absolutely right. You know, you go through our prior history. They would not take on Trump. They wouldn't take on Trump for a number of reasons.
No.
But they feel comfortable enough with going after Biden.
And if, in fact, China does decide to force Nancy Pelosi's plane to the ground, shoot it down, escort it in for landing or something like that, I would assume this would be kind of a signal to the rest of the world. If you've ever wanted to take advantage of America's weakness, this would be the time to do it.
Yes, and that's reason why war can spread so fast across the world.
Wow.
The Chinese, you know, for us Americans, and for me included, it just seemed conceivable that they'd shoot down her plane. Yep. But we've got to remember that the Chinese look at the world very differently than we do at this moment. And we're not comprehending all of the way that they calculate their interests. And part of it is because the Chinese political system has become less transparent. It's now at a very politically sensitive time in the run-up to the 20th National Congress. Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, is, I think, personally at risk. And so, therefore, he has a very low threshold. He can actually do things that will take us by surprise, Rob. So
yeah. Yeah.
It is extraordinarily dangerous right now. And we Americans ought to understand that. And we ought to understand that it took about a decade of really bad policy. When you start from George H.W. Bush, you go through Clinton, George W. Bush, Obama. There were some really bad China policies. Trump reversed some of it, but not all of the bad policies. And the Biden has gone back to the worst aspects of it. You know, we have Henry Kissinger basically running foreign policy, it seems, and he's not doing that in our interests.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people would see China as a paper tiger, but one of the most emboldening things that a government can do is go to war to rally the support of the country, to rally patriotism within the country. You know, the United States was kind of seen as that in before World War II when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor and they found out the opposite to be true. We are kind of looking at some people are looking at China as and I know you have. You've seen the weaknesses of the communist Chinese. What they've done with the banking system but it appears that possibly I would say Xi Jinping might look to a military conflict as a source of strength for keeping his butt in the chair and making Chinese stronger on the world stage.
Yeah, if you have little to lose, then you take risks which your adversaries don't think that you will take. And that's exactly where I think we are with Xi Jinping right now. So we have the confluence of two things, disrespect for the U.S.
Yeah.
plus internal crises inside China. Yeah. And that is a very toxic brew.
All right. Well, Gordon Chang, I appreciate you finding the time for us this morning. There's nobody who I would rather hear or see with regard to China policy and what's coming. And hopefully that, you know, something in the form of some sort of a military conflict is not going to be a part of it. Gordon Chang, where can people find you on social media? I know you're on Twitter, among other places.
Twitter at Gordon G. Chang, GordonGChang. And I archive all of my articles for free at my website, www.gordonchang.com.
All right, my friend. Safe travels. God bless you. And thanks for joining me today. I appreciate it. Let's take a break. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show.
Biden's first year in office summed up in three words. Welcome back, Carter.
That's not right. It's not fair to us. And honestly, it's not fair to the world.
It's the Rob Carson Show.
I want to thank Gordon Chang for coming on the show today. Of all the things, right? Of all the things you got to worry about on top of everything else. Now we've got China literally telling our president, dressing down our president last week on the phone, and saying that if Nancy Pelosi dares to land in Taiwan, that we'll be met with fire and fury. This is what happens when you broadcast weakness. And this is where you and I have to sit here and go, God, come on. We can do better than this. We can do better than this. And I got to tell you guys, I don't see how the country makes it to 2024, if we follow this trajectory, we won't make it. Something has got to give. Something in the country has got to give. Right now, that thing is coming in November. That's where we have to change the trajectory of the country. Existential crisis. Yeah, that's where we are. And we are in the process right now with this president who is bought and paid for by the communist Chinese and by Russia and Ukraine. That's a situation we're in. We are broadcasting weakness, and we are telling the world that you can take advantage of the United States right now at our weakest point. But we do have elections. We do have tomorrow a bunch of primaries that are pretty big. Carrie Lake running for governor, and Blake Masters are running for U.S. Senate. Carrie Lake is running for governor, of course. And they've got commanding leads in polls just days before the primaries. It's a positive. That's a positive. Carrie now holds a double-digit lead, 51 to Karen Taylor Robinson, 33. Lake captured 75% of Trump supporters, by the way. Trump supporters, 75% support Carrie Lake. Now, Carrie Lake, her big platforms are southern border security and 2020 election. Stolen. Yeah, I know. That was verboten. You're not supposed to be able to talk about that, according to the mainstream media, big social media, and the Democrat Party. But people are saying, yeah, if she is elected, that's going to be gigantic. Because in Arizona, they're going to find the truth of what happened in 2020, and that's going to spread across the country. And then as that happens, everyone who ever thought there was any kind of chicanery in the election, were told, shut up, sit down, you are spreading misinformation or disinformation. Well, that's when Democrats' worst nightmares come true. I believe that. We've seen it with Hillary Clinton and the Russia collusion hoax. We now know it was her. It wasn't Donald Trump. We know that Hunter Biden's laptop was absolutely real. We also know that the FBI covered up all the negative coming out of that laptop, which could have affected the election. But fortunately, the Democrats did such a good job of stealing it, they didn't need that. All of this stuff. This happening tomorrow, if she's the candidate, and then in November, with both houses turning and possible governorship in Arizona, Carrie Lake, Doug Mastriano, Pennsylvania, Dan Cox in Maryland, and, of course, Ron DeSantis in Florida. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. So we will see. As far as China is concerned and Nancy Pelosi is concerned, keep your fingers crossed and hope that we can make it to a safer place. Even though we have a president who is obviously infirmed and a Democrat Party who hates America, doesn't bode well for our strength in the world. Let's take a break, come back and wrap things up, shall we? It's the Rob Carson Show. All right, guys, about time for me to wrap the show up today. I hope you don't mind the hoarseness of the voice. Got the allergy thing going, but I will be back tomorrow with a full slated show. Tomorrow's a big primary day in America in several states and things. I was mentioning, obviously, Arizona, Kansas, where I live. Those are big deals, and, you know, we'll see what happens. We will see if the Trump march to victory continues. I didn't get a chance to get to the the sexual psychosexual assault of women happening around the world. A major gender transition clinic in Great Britain has now done some research. They've shut it down. And they're realizing that they've been mutilating children. That's going to come here, and pediatricians who have been down with it are going to be held criminally responsible and liable for it. It's all going to hit the wall soon. Guys, have a glorious day. God bless our military, our first responders, and you. And until tomorrow, don't catch the stupid. See ya.